Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
When I was in college, I had a critical thinking class, a philosophy class that really dove deep on why we need laws. Laws are important. Good laws are important. For any society, they provide structure, they provide safety for citizens, they protect your rights, the principles like free speech and freedom of religion and your right to move about life without worried about your safety or worried about a society that doesn't have consequences. Like, we need laws. I get that. I understand it. We've had a series of lawmakers who have joined this show over the years. The former president of the Oregon Senate, Peter Courtney, was a frequent guest on this show. U.S. Senator Ron Wyden, we've heard from him. We hear from him a few times a year on this show. We've had some governors on this show. President Obama made an appearance on this show. So I understand laws, and I understand how difficult it is to be a lawmaker to a certain extent. I haven't walked a mile in those shoes, so to speak. But our next guest has. State Representative Janelle Bynum is a Democrat in Clackamas. Happens to have a son, Ellis, who is a running back at the University of Oregon. And she is sponsoring the bill we've been talking about in the last couple days, House Bill 2472. It would require public universities to develop specified policies and accountability mechanisms for behavior at interscholastic activities, including sporting events. It would make the head coach, the athletic director, potentially culpable if there were bad fan interactions. Now, I wrote about this today at johncanzano.com. I was there last football season at Autzen Stadium the day when a few of the students in the student section started chanting at the BYU team and yelling some vulgar and profane things, and, you know, it was ugly. I didn't hear it from the press box. There weren't enough people chanting it, but it was ugly. And I remember leaving the stadium going, where are we? Why can't people behave themselves? Is it alcohol? Is it stadium security? Is it bad parenting? Well, State Rep Janelle Bynum joining us now to talk about her proposed legislation. Thanks for making time for us. I appreciate you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Give me an idea. First of all, you know, give me an idea. Like, you know, I've never pushed forth legislation. The process, is this something you've been thinking about for a while? Where does HB 2472, where was it born?
So it's actually born, it's a sibling of House Bill 3409 from back in 2019, where we had kids from around the state who were, you know, playing basketball, playing football, and getting taunted and harassed at these sporting events. So we did a bill, now Governor Kotek and Barbara Smith Warner, did a bill for high school athletics. And that has been the most beautiful evolution of setting standards. You know, you were talking about, what's wrong with these kids? Somebody didn't do something right. We've been setting standards now for the high school kids for, you know, 5 years now. And the F the Mormons event kind of took it to a new level. And I thought, we need to set some standards for college kids.
Maybe if you could speak to some of the changes you've seen in fan behavior with the other bill, that would help us kind of understand how this one fits in. Because immediately I go to, wait a minute, this can't be on the coach, this can't be on the athletic director. But what have you seen at the high school level?
Well, actually, let me go back to the youth level. So some of the legislation that I proposed actually comes from me being a mom in the Tualatin Valley Football League. And we got letters on 922 and 1030 talking about fan behavior, and these were about grown adults. So the accountability part for the AD and for the coaches, I got that from what TVYFL was telling us to do as parents. And so they were holding the coaches accountable, and they were holding the club presidents accountable for bad parent behavior. So let's start there. But at the high school level, what we've seen is a focus on, you know, the students cheering for their own team, for them setting expectations as to what is acceptable fan behavior, what isn't. I think the difference between, you know, youth football and high school football and the collegiate level is the presence of alcohol. And that, I think, ratchets things up. And it's why I felt compelled to do the bill, because things get a little more, they can get a little rougher at the college games.
Totally agree. And I want to step back, too, because I think we all recognize that there are problems in stadiums, not just in the state of Oregon, across the country. NFL games, we see fights. You know, we see this as a epidemic in college football, and I think you're right about alcohol. But why not go after alcohol? Was there a reason why you didn't say, hey, let's ban alcohol at college games?
Alcohol is not to blame for people's bad behavior. I think it's setting expectations and executing on those expectations. So in what I saw with developing the high school bill, we had to train coaches. We had to train refs. We had to set expectations for fan behavior about what we wanted it to look like when one team came to play at another team's school. We wanted to make sure the kids were safe. We also put in a component in the bill where we asked the kids after the end of the season, did you have a good time? Did you feel like you were safe when you were going? One legislator mentioned that he remembers as a high school student arriving at the opposing team stadium, and as they were getting off the bus or maybe even getting on the bus, the opposing team's fans were throwing rocks at them, so they had to wear their helmets. Like that kind of stuff, those are people issues. So it's not the alcohol, it's the people. And then you mix people who have unbridled enthusiasm with a little bit of alcohol and no expectations, then you've got a recipe for disaster. And that's not a fun game to watch.
State Rep Janelle Bynum is our guest. She has proposed House Bill 2472. It's caused some discussion. The athletic director at Oregon State said, hey, it's an unnecessary rule because we've already got standards in place inside the stadium. What do you say to that?
I disagree. I think when we heard the bill in committee, some people commented that, you know, they didn't like to go to the games anymore because people were out of control. In my research, some coaches, or at least one coach, told me he didn't like to bring his family to the game because people were out of control. And so I think when you add the financial element on there, and you add, I think, all of the things ADs do, they're not going to sign up to fix a problem. That's what I found in being a legislator, kind of going back to your original question. People are not going to sign up to fix things. Sometimes you have to muscle your way in to have the conversation. And since this has caused such a stir, I know it's the right conversation to have.
Let me ask you, like, how do you discern between, you know, there are a lot of visiting fans and there are a lot of neutral parties that will attend a stadium. Yeah. Let's say, you know, I'm a Washington fan and I come down to Autzen Stadium and I'm causing trouble. You know, I could foresee that being a poor reflection on Dan Lanning and Rob Mullins, the AD at Oregon. And really, all they did was, you know, welcome in a visiting fan. How do you sort of rectify that issue?
So I would say I don't really care who the fan is. When you come to our stadiums, act like you have some sense. It doesn't matter to me where you come from. The second part, you know, Nick Saban, I think, was that yesterday, set a really good example about expectations.
100%.
And I would love it if, you know, OSU AD or Lanning said, when you come to my house, when you come to Autzen, I will treat you with respect, but you need to act in accordance with our rules and policies and procedures. And we'll all have a good time. But don't come here to make trouble for anybody else. Don't come here to ruin somebody else's good time. We're coming here to play a game, to win, obviously. And, you know, to create some good community memories. Like, I know that feels kind of soft and it's kind of a sports show, but some of my best memories are hanging out with my kids at games.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on, like, I think we see the world in some ways the same way, because I agree with you, like, you know, I travel often. I have three daughters, and the two younger ones, sometimes when I'm on the road, I'm covering a game. My wife will bring those kids to the stadium, and whether it's in the state of Oregon or somewhere else, it's always a little dicey. I mean, it is kind of a, you don't know who's going to be in that seat next to you. And I do think alcohol is a major problem that amplifies, you know, some personality defects and maybe some bad parenting that is going with that. But I'm a little concerned that we're shifting the blame for bad behavior onto somebody who really isn't in control of it. Like Rob Mullins, he's the AD, but game operations, there's a whole security staff. You need straight troopers there. I'm concerned that we're letting the bad behavior people off the hook. Just kick them out of the stadium.
Okay. So here's the thing. So when you're writing a bill, you don't quite know what the operational part is, right? So I will admit, maybe the AD and the coach, they're not the right people. But unless I assign responsibility to someone, I'll never get there. And that's kind of the legislative process. So, and I should also say that is what the youth league did. They assigned it to the coach and the club president. So that was the model that I was following.
Yeah. And
you
I get that.
Somebody else's name, I'll put it on there. You know, it doesn't matter to me.
Because I think what in the youth game, you know, I've got a daughter who played club volleyball. The coach is the gatekeeper, and most of the people who are watching are family members or close friends of players. So there is a direct sort of accountability that can be created there. In a stadium setting, I don't know, when you have 54,000 people and you have 150 students who are misbehaving, if it's do you say good job to the coach? Hey, 54,400 did the right thing, 150 didn't, you know. I don't know what you do, but help us with that legislative process, because that's part of why I wanted to bring you on, is help us understand your job, your world. Is this something that, as this bill moves through the House, through the Senate, towards the governor's desk, is this something where you could say, hey, maybe the football coach and the AD aren't the right people. Maybe this needs to go just the university president is the right person.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so the universities have come out and they've given me feedback. Most of it was redlining the bill as they try again. But in the public hearing process and people have written to me since you kind of shed light on this, and they've kind of pointed me at, you know, different places to think about. Nobody's given me a great suggestion yet, but I'm still open to it, right? Like, I think the conversation really has been about what do we expect at sporting events? Who's responsible? And what do we think people should experience when they come to an Oregon game, meaning state of Oregon?
Yeah.
What are the expectations? I want to have a good time with my kids. I don't want some jerk hanging out, you know, drunk, you know, saying all kinds of crazy things and touching. And, you know, you don't want all of that. You just want to enjoy the game.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think, you know, I do think, like, in the last, let's say, 8 or 10 years, I've seen a loss of civility on social media, a loss of civility at the stadium, a loss of civility with people communicating with each other. I mean, there's just been a loss of sort of that innocence maybe that used to exist at a lot of public events, and stadiums, I think, are symptomatic of that. Our guest is State Representative Janelle Bynum out of Clackamas. She is proposing and sponsoring the bill, House Bill 2472. You've got a son on the team. How does that impact how you move forward with this? Because I think that part is really interesting as well.
He might kill me for this, but I went to a game, and I didn't get to go to a lot of the games this year, but I went to a game and I waited for him at the end, and it was freezing. And he never came back out of the tunnel after the game was over. And I finally caught up with him at the facility, is what he calls it. And I said, hey, we were waiting for you. I wanted to get a picture with you on the field. And he was like, Mom, I'm not coming back out because he shared with me that a woman asked him one time for one of his bands. I don't know what these bands do, but I guess they look good. And he was taking it off for her to give it to her, and she started touching on him. And it was inappropriate. She started rubbing his arm. And he said, I didn't feel safe. And people are drunk. And that's not okay with me. And I don't want to ruin this opportunity or this experience. So when the game is over, I'm going to go in and I'm going to stay out of trouble. And that told me that there was an element of safety that was at issue. And that's why there's a portion of the bill that talks about getting the student experience, getting that feedback about how the student athletes feel when they're, you know, on the field or they're, you know, traveling through the stadiums, and making sure that their safety needs were met in these events. He's going to kill me.
No, but it's real life stuff. And that's why, like, it would be really easy to bring you on the show and say, oh, I think this is a terrible thing. But what I want to do is I want people to hear you. I want people to understand. I think you're coming from a good place, and I think you're smart. You know, and your career prior to getting into lawmaking is you have a background in engineering, correct?
Yeah, I'm trained as an electrical engineer. Yep.
So you're no dummy. So what I'm saying is you're coming at this from a good place. I don't see the coach and the AD as the right people. And maybe I need to do some digging around and find out, you know, what they're doing in other places. But you have seen an erosion of the stadium experience for families. And I think you're hunting in the right area where you can make a real impact. I'm just not sure that, you know, affecting scholarships, affecting state troopers working at games, those don't sound like good outcomes.
So let me just kind of give you some insight on the state trooper part. So I wanted to make the experience positive universally for all students in Oregon. So there are certain ways for all collegiate students. So there are certain ways that you can get at private universities versus public universities. So I can absolutely write legislation to control what happens at a public university. And that's why it was written that, you know, no school, no public university can do this, this, and this. But for the private ones, you have to kind of attack the places where state support is given. So that's where the police come in. It's not that I really need the police to do anything. It's that the state will not support these extracurricular activities if you can't keep the students safe or you don't have these policies. And the ways in which we do that for private entities are through the use of state resources. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I fear that like if you remove the state troopers, that doesn't make the stadium safer. You know what I'm saying?
No. So it's not. It doesn't have anything to do with them in the stadium. It has to do with an educational institution accessing them, and that makes the bill apply to them because they need to access utilization of the state troopers.
Yeah, and I've talked to some of those state troopers that this is part of their income. They are, they're working this as an extra day. It's almost overtime for them, picking up another shift. It helps their families, and so that part of it too doesn't feel right to me. Help me a little bit with the timeline of this as it moves through the process. Slowly, you know, we've all seen the commercials, how a bill becomes a law, but how does it happen here in Oregon?
I will just say, to put a pin in the previous topic, there's no intention of taking troopers out of the equation. The trooper mention is to get at the private universities to make sure that they are doing the same thing and that all students across Oregon have similar experiences. So just to clear that up. So the timeline. So we are in the final days of bill having to be heard in the House and passed out of the committee onto the House floor. So we have about two more weeks. And then it gets voted on and sent over to the Senate, where it would be heard with some amendments. So I do expect to make some amendments, and we're waiting on those now. And I also expect the Oregon Student Association, who this bill is at the request of, to continue having some feedback, you know, just from their perspective. So, and yeah. I'm sure a lot of your fans will continue writing me.
I hope they're being cordial and helpful. That's the ultimate. Like, I think we're all in a community society, right? We're all supposed to be working together. I think we recognize, hey, things could be better at the stadium. How do we get there? That's what, you know, and you know, bless you if that's the byproduct of this. Maybe this law ends up being a little different. Maybe there are tweaks to it, but maybe we end up in a place where the stadium's better, and that's a win for everybody. One question that has come up, and I heard this from another Pac-12 coach. They said, why would anyone want to coach in the state of Oregon if you are potentially having to worry about fans in the stadium? Are you worried about that at all?
I don't want that coach if they can't ensure the safety of the players on the field. And I would think that if they read the bill and it has components of student athlete feedback, and if they, you know, heard something like what my son reported to me, that they wouldn't be concerned. On the flip side, again, the process of legislating means you put your idea out there and you let the public vet it. And some ideas are going to be great and some ideas you're going to have to refine. So that's what I would say to that person. And I probably don't want them coaching here because they don't have any standards. Why would you want to work in a place where people are uncivil?
Yeah, I think a lot of that is going on nationally. I mean, I don't know if you've gone on the road yet with the Ducks, but I think in a lot of stadiums, similar issues. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of venues are dealing with how strict to be, zero tolerance policy. You know, do you start, you know, in some of the international soccer events, they've cleared the stadiums and made everybody leave. Like, I don't think that's the solution either, but I appreciate where you're coming from. I think it needs tweaks. I don't agree with all of it, but I agree. I think your heart's in the right place. And I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Anytime.
All right. There's State Rep Janelle Bynum out of Clackamas. I want your phone calls. You just heard that. She's asking us to help, you know, the public vet it. Help her vet this HB 2472. I don't like the coach and the AD being on the hook for fan behavior. I think we're shifting the blame. What do you see? What do you hear? I want your own experience. Speak for yourself. 503-417-7575.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Well, she's back from her exclusive tour of Europe, Scandinavia, and Mount Hood. Anna is in the studio. We just had State Representative Janelle Bynum, Democrat out of Clackamas, on the show. She has proposed House Bill 2472. We got a bunch of people who are holding on who want to talk about this, Anna. Shall we let them go first?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's let people go first. The state rep is asking for some help. And, you know, the idea being that you push forth a bill and the public vets it. We're going to do that. We're going to vet this bill. Let's go to the phone lines. Josh is in Vancouver. Josh, what do you think?
Hey, John. So I think you should start over. I'm listening to you ask questions. And, man, sometimes I just so appreciate the framework and the context of the questions that you ask, because I really hope that she takes the time to go back and listen to the interview that you did with her. There was a couple things that stood out to me. One, it's very typical of leadership in our area in general to assign blame or to pick a fall guy that has absolutely nothing to do with the actual responsible parties. And this is just another example of where we're trying to pin something on somebody that has no control whatsoever over a situation to prevent things like the examples that were being given from happening. Like a football coach can't control what happens in the stands. They're even further away from the things that happen in the stands than, say, a basketball coach or a volleyball coach. So I think we're at a big miss there. The other thing that was a big, big standout to me, how are you going to provide an example of a circumstance where a kid doesn't want to come out of a locker room and give a band or whatever because people are touching him inappropriately because said person that was touching the kid or the athlete inappropriately is drunk, but then lead the conversation with you and say that alcohol doesn't play a factor in any of these things. I don't understand that line of thinking that you can have a shared experience with somebody and then use that as an example, but then also point to that very thing and say, but this doesn't play a factor, is not a contributing thing. Yeah, there's a ton of revenue wrapped up in alcohol, and I'm sure alcohol being discussed is taken off the table, and the revenue associated with it makes it the last resort, but that is probably the first place that people should look, and then go from there. I don't have anything else, John. Thanks for the topic, man.
Yeah, the vast majority of complaints that I hear at stadiums, and I'm at stadiums, okay? I'm there for a ton of games. The vast majority of complaints are related to alcohol and bad fan behavior. I do think if we're going to get real about making the stadium more family-friendly, I'm not saying you ban alcohol, but you have to severely limit alcohol sales, limit it to the first half, limit it to, somebody who's inebriated, have alcohol monitors in the stadium who are diligent and have a zero tolerance policy if somebody's stumbling around the stadium throwing up on people. I got numerous emails this morning after I wrote the column at johnconzano.com from people who say, hey, I was at the stadium, lady behind me threw up all over me. I'll never go back again. That's not somebody who has a dark heart. That's not somebody chanting F the Mormons. That's somebody who just didn't handle their alcohol and they're at the stadium throwing up on somebody else.
I actually disagree with you with cutting off alcohol at the half because I think people will, A, just go out at halftime and get their own alcohol.
What if you don't allow it? No ins and outs.
Yeah.
Oregon State just announced that. No ins and outs. And I think it was 100% geared at alcohol sales in the stadium. Okay. They want to keep the money.
Yeah, and that's fine. But along the same lines as let's not punish everyone for the thin stripe of people that can't handle their alcohol, I think it's just a matter of policing the bad actors and the people who can't handle their alcohol.
Yeah, I think youth sports, I actually think that the solution that they had in youth sports with the OSAA and having the head coach be responsible makes sense to me. There is a direct correlation between the players on the team, their families, and the coach. It's a triangle. And so if you do put it on the coach and say, look, if your players' parents don't behave themselves at games, we're penalizing you, that coach has control over it. He can talk to the parents in a group meeting before the season and say, listen, I get penalized if you can't handle yourself at games. Dan Lanning can't hold that meeting with 54,000 people. You know, he was asked yesterday, how do you plan on policing people? And he says, I'll ask them to behave better. Like, you know, he can't control that. That's not on him.
I wouldn't say that he has no control over it because he's obviously a thought leader in so many ways.
Yeah,
in just the very role that he plays. So his messaging can have an impact if he's asking fans.
To an extent, but what if it's visiting fans? What if a bunch of Washington fans just take a party bus down from Seattle, show up at Autzen Stadium. They're drinking all the way. They're throwing up all over the whole stadium.
You're gonna hear from us,
they're yelling at people. They're throwing rocks at the game. They're chanting horrific things towards the field. Dan Lanning is responsible for that?
No, he's not.
He can't be. And, you know, I feel like there's a little bit of an overreaction here. But I think the state rep's heart is in the right place.
Yeah.
Because there is a loss of civility at the stadium that needs to be addressed. I think it starts with parenting, though. Like, when those kids were chanting, bleep the Mormons, I thought about the kids and said, that's disappointing. And my very next thought was, how embarrassed would their parents be? Because if my kid was yelling at that at the game, I would grab her and I would say, you're embarrassing yourself. This isn't what you're about. You know, this isn't how you were raised. All of those things that I know I'm never going to have to say because I know that my kids are not going to do that lest they face the wrath of me. And I hope if they did it, the usher would kick them out of the stadium. Kick them out. Send them home. Ban them. But putting it on Rob Mullins, Poor Rob Mullins. He's over there trying to make his budget met, and now he's going, I got to worry about the people in the stands? Like, I think it's a little silly. Jesse's in Klamath Falls. Jesse, what do you think?
Well, the first caller pretty much took all of my thunder. I agree completely with everything he was going to say, because that's kind of what I had lined up. I really didn't like her dismissing, oh, alcohol isn't a factor, because my point is that alcohol and substance abuse at these games is 100% the factor. And I would also argue that a lot of that is a cultural thing that goes way deep down into even just youth sports. I witness just rec league soccer moms coming up, you know, to the turf playing, you know, their kids are out playing, and they have wine in their Hydro Flask. And there's people making Irish coffees out of the back of their Suburbans. And it may not, they may not be the blankety blanks that cause the big scene, but I can guarantee you that as that game goes on, I witness these people acting differently, talking differently, and treating referees differently, children differently. And so when you get to a bigger stadium, you get to a bigger crowd, you get to a bigger environment, everything is heightened. So if we're drinking wine out of a Hydro Flask at a youth soccer game, you're tailgating at dawn at these games. And by the time people are getting in there, they are so soft, they're not even really themselves anymore. So that's kind of where it lies for me.
I'm kind of wondering if, thank you for the call, I appreciate it. I'm kind of wondering if maybe HB 2472 should be directed at alcohol sales. And what I'm getting at here is, if you have repeated infractions in your stadium, your alcohol sales policy can be rescinded. What if that were the effect of the law? Would that be, would that, because what you want is you want Oregon and Oregon State to pay attention to the fan experience and make sure that it's family friendly and people aren't belligerent and people aren't acting like idiots and it's a safe place to be. But if the penalty was, hey, you can't sell alcohol, you're going to lose your license to sell alcohol if you don't make the experience family friendly.
That feels like it potentially addresses the problem more systematically, like the systemic issue that is related primarily to people not handling their alcohol and behaving well. Yeah.
503-417-7575. You weigh in. I still haven't heard from Judah and Steven. I want your calls as well. Help us vet this law. We're gonna make this state a better place. You know, I mentioned, Anna, that you're back from the mountain. You were up on the mountain.
Yeah.
Where were you exactly with the girls?
Today, Timberline. Yesterday, Meadows.
You say that like you're like a snowboarder. I was at Meadows.
Yeah.
Is that the full name of it?
I'm
Meadows?
A pro now.
Isn't it Mount Hood Meadows?
Yes.
You just call it the Meadow. You know?
No one calls it the Meadow. Singular.
The girls took ski.
MHM.
Yeah. The girls took ski lessons.
Yeah, they rocked it. I'm so proud of them.
They're 6 and 8. Like, how did they do?
They did an all-day ski lesson, and they finished the day. They did a ski lift, and they got off the baby hill. Like, they actually did, like, a beginner, you know, grown-up hill, the Buttercup Run. I was just blown away.
I should have taken the lesson with them. I'd be like the only grown up in the with a bunch of 6-year-old, 8-year-olds around.
Yeah, we're a ski family now, John. Buckle up.
I'm not a big snow person. I'm glad that they had a positive experience. I'm happy to stay in the lodge. Steven, are you a snow person?
No, not at all. I mean, I enjoy, you know, looking at it, but going out in it, no. And then when I was growing up playing basketball, like I wasn't allowed to go like snowboarding or skiing because I was too worried about getting injured. So I just never got into it.
Yeah, got to keep you healthy. Let's go to the phone lines. We still want to talk about House Bill 2472. The lawmaker who is pushing this law, sponsoring this law, State Representative Janelle Bynum, was kind enough to join us earlier in the show. We're looking to vet this law, and I'm going to send her, you know, the segment, this podcast of this segment. So let's give her some help on this thing. Paul is driving to Eugene now. Paul, you on I-5?
Yes, sir.
All right. Give us your thoughts on House Bill 2472.
Well, I don't think that we need this House bill as much as we need the college to train more people, the monitors, and be able to have better training of how we could see what behaviors that people are taking and then just go to that source and cut it off before it gets any bigger. Yeah. And that's my vetting of the whole situation, is that we don't need a bill for colleges to monitor their own situation that we have, because Oregon, in my opinion, we have a great monitoring system that they do vet some people that get drunk and some people who are being outrageous. And so I don't think we need any more than but just better training people.
Yeah. And look, I tend to agree with that because, you know, as I wrote this morning, it starts for me, all of this starts at home. It starts with parenting. It starts with your household. It starts with my household. What are we doing at home? And what are we taking forth into public? And once we get into a public setting, who are we as people? And can we be cordial with each other? Can we root at a sporting event without being at each other's throats or throwing up on each other or making, you know, chanting vulgar things at each other? We should be able to do that. We shouldn't need a law that helps us get to that point. Like, you know, that's common sense. Maybe it's as simple as, you know, when the kids play CYO sports, there's this talk that happens before they line up to play, and they talk about, you know, parents, we're here for the enjoyment of the kids, not ourselves. And it's kind of a sad little talk, but it's true, and it keeps you from, it gives you that perspective, like, you know, don't yell at the 15-year-old kid officiating the basketball game. Do we really need that? Does our society need that in a stadium?
Yeah, because I still see parents who lose their minds at CYO events.
John is in Klamath Falls. John, welcome to the program.
Yeah, I like a lot of the ideas being thrown out there and everything, and I agree that it ain't the coaches or the AD's responsibility, because they have no power to enforce or even make rules and regulations on how they do it. But one thing I would like to see possibly is that these lawmakers join with California, Washington, and other teams within the Pac-12 to put pressure on these presidents and the commissioner to make a rule for the Pac-12. Hey, if your school messes up, regardless of what state you're in, and your fans cannot behave, there will be punishments. But it won't be at the coaches. Maybe, you know, instead of getting your annual salary from a TV right there, you're getting knocked $50,000 or something like that. Because it's not only an Oregon deal, it's a Pac-12, it's a Mountain West, it's across college.
Yeah, and look, I always think the love language of any athletic department is money, okay? That's the love language that Oregon and Oregon State speak. So if you really want Oregon and Oregon State to do a better job of monitoring the stadium, you say, yes, you have to set up a protocol where people can complain about fan behavior, and you must respond to these things in a timely fashion, and you must make changes to improve the atmosphere inside the stadium. And if you don't, and here comes the kicker, it's not on the coach, it's not on the AD. If you don't, you will be required to hire more security personnel to be in the stadium. And here are the steps. And Oregon State aren't going to want to do that. They're not going to want the expense of additional state troopers, additional security staffers. It becomes prohibitive at some point. It eats into their profits on the alcohol sales. And so what I'm getting at is, like, look, let's take this off Dan Lanning, Jonathan Smith. It's not their problem. It's ridiculous. It's not their problem. And it's in the ADs, they're worried on game day about what? Boosters and gift givers. They're walking through the press box. They're walking through the luxury suites. They're shaking hands. They're kissing babies. They're telling people to get their checkbooks out. The last thing those athletic directors are going to want is for the state to say, hey, you know what? You've got too many infractions with fan behavior. You now have to double your security staff for the next game.
It's a legitimate point, because it's like, you know, as a mom at a football game, a college football game, walking her 6 and 8-year-old, her youngest 2 daughters through, you know, the 20-year-olds working the game, I have had moments where I'm like, oh, that gal who looks to be a freshman or a sophomore at the school cannot walk. She is inebriated to the point where her friends are holding her up on either side. This is not a good scene. and I'm the one flagging, like desperately looking for someone to flag her down, because I don't want this young woman leaving with just anybody in that state. And I'm also trying to shield my kids, because now mom has to have a conversation with the two
kids. What's wrong with that girl?
What's wrong with her?
Yeah.
You know, well, she's had too much to drink. Oh, okay. Now we have to have that chat.
That's a good point. Let's go to Mike, who is in Wilsonville. Mike, welcome to the discussion.
Say, John, man, I think you guys looking at this is all wrong. This is a legal thing. And I think that before Janelle Bynum came up with this bill, she had to sit down and discuss it with attorneys. And she had to be on legal ground to bring this bill. Now, Dan Lanin and all the rest of them guys, if there's a lawsuit, they're going to get named in this lawsuit. They're going to name everybody connected with promoting these games. When Dan Lanin give interviews, he's promoting. And when they sell tickets, they can address these issues with the ticket. They can put disclaimers or whatever they need to put on the ticket to address crowd behavior. They can make that a part of the ticket sale. So you guys looking at this all wrong. So when you sue somebody, you sue everybody connected with bad behavior. It's like when a group of people go in a store and somebody in that crowd steals something, they're going to charge everybody, whether you know what's going on or not. That's the way the law goes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you guys looking at this stuff all wrong, man.
Right. Well, you know, what I keep coming back to is the people who are actually doing wrong in the stadium, they deserve the consequence. You need to kick them out. It does, to me, come down to staffing. Like, if you tell me 54,000 people are too much for the current security staff, then as a state lawmaker, maybe the solution here is to require Oregon and Oregon State to beef up the security and spend more money on game day to make the stadium experience conducive to, you know, viewing the game in a pleasant manner.
Well, yeah, okay, you're right, kick them out, but there needs to be proactive action.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.